man. Okay. We're now going to look at arrays, and then we're going to look at other, which is checkboxes and radio buttons. So, we're going to start out looking at arrays. So, I said here, Division 3 has four departments. We'll do a function to determine which department we're interested in. So I'm going to put in a 2. And then I click OK. And it says the department is CI. Okay, so first of all, I am setting up an array. And I'm naming the array department array. And there are multiple ways to set this up. Right now, we're just looking at this way, which is the very basic way. And I'm saying department array, the maximum on it is going to be an index of 4. Now, what an array is I have set up a collection of things that have the same name. So they're all named department array. Now, hopefully you know enough at this point to know if you try to name two things the same, it's going to yell at you. Okay? It doesn't want you naming two things the same. So the way I can avoid that is using this number that is in square braces. And notice square. I did this a little bit in 12, and somebody from that class was going nuts with the thing and sent it to me and said, what's wrong? And the only thing was wrong is he had parentheses there as opposed to square brackets. He just hadn't noticed that they were square. Okay? So that's a key thing to notice here. So this is setting up an array. And an array basically has, in this case, I've got 5 things. And this array is called department array. Okay. And the first one is called department array modified by 0. And then the next line down is called department array modified by 1. And it keeps going like that.
Do you even have to do 0?
No.
Yes,
you can leave off the 0 if you want to. I basically put up the error to say you would have 0, but you can leave it out. But the array starts with 0. Some languages start arrays with 1, some start them with 0, some used to at least give you the choice. Visual Basic used to give you the choice of 0 or 1, and they've gotten away from that now and now do 0. But at one point they let you decide whether you wanted to start with 0 or 1. So arrays start with 0, you can ignore the 0. But when I am looking for a valid array, a valid number, I did it down here and I said, if department is less than 5, then it's valid. If it's 5 or more, you won't get anything. Well, if I don't have a 0 up here, I should say, if department is less than 5 and department's greater than 0. And check for the 0.
Script.
Oh, okay. Lots of times we talk about this with functions. Things that are one-time thing. So this is a one-time setup. People will put those in the header to get them out of the way. You don't have to. It could have been done in the regular script. But one-time setups, lots of times, are put in the head. And functions are lots of times put in the head because we only want to do them when we call them and not on a drop-down. So those kinds of things sometimes are put in the head. Okay. So I've got my array set up. And this says no department zero. And this one says BU. And this one says CI. Okay. Well, down below, I ended a 2. And in fact, the 2 was the default. Because in most of my classes, most majors are CI. So I made the CI, the 2, the default. Which means when the little box on the prompt comes up, it will have a 2 in it. And I only have to hit OK if it's 2 that I want. Okay, so if you run this, the 2 will be there. So now I've got my array set up. And it's got all of those things. And if I put in a 4, I want OFC, OF. If I put in a 3, if I put in a 2, if I put in a 1, I want BU. 2, I want CI. 0 is an error, but I'm handling it by saying no department 0. So, I've set up this array. Now I'm coming down and saying, tell me what the department number is, and I typed in a 2. So then I said, if department is less than 5, document right, the department is, go to the array and get the one modified by 2. And it's got the one modified by 2, so it got CI. And you can see over there that it's coming to the department of CI. This number is called a index. It is called a subscript. It is called a pointer. It probably has at least 10 other names. Okay, but those are some of the names that you hear a lot. Index probably being the most technically correct. So, 2 is a subscript. Notice that the 2 is in square brackets, just like it was up there. So if you put the 2 in parentheses, it's not going to work. If it is less than 5, then I go to the array, get the thing modified by 2, which is CI, and I print it out. Else, I write out a valid deposit. Any time now. Okay, this is a right click to close the inkler, and it didn't want me to right click, apparently. Okay, so if I run this again and I put in a 0, I see the department is no department 0. So probably I could have written better English, but anyway, that's what I get for the 0, okay? And if I run this again, and I put in a 7, it says invalid department number. Okay? And on this one, I entered a 7. And I'll remember to click before I go over. So on this one, I entered 7. And so it took the else and put out invalid department number. Okay. Questions on how this works? Okay, so there it is, and it put out invalid department number. An array is a real handy thing to have, especially when you get into a war. When you have a loop and you want to have the user enter something and you want to put it in the array. So when you start the loop out with a counter of one, and whatever the user enters goes in here, and then the counter increases to two, and it goes in here, and counter increases to three, and it keeps growing. And so it's a lot easier than saying if they enter one, find the place marked one and put it in. My very first programming job, I think I've told you, I graduated from college in economics and decided during the summer before my senior year that I wanted to do computers. I had a summer job that did it and seemed like fun. So I went looking for a job, got a job as a programmer. They sent me to school for a week and a half, and then I came back. They told me to start earning my living. And the first program that they gave me was months of the year. And so I had a whole series of if statements. If month equals what had involved writing out the date. If month equals one, put out January. If month equals two, put out February. If month equals three. And my boss said, why didn't you just set up an array? One is January, two is February, three is... And that would have been a lot easier. And I said, well, because I don't know what an array is, but other than that. And I learned what an array was that day. But it makes life a lot easier because I can just say, if the person types in a number, I can just go to the array and extract that thing. And it makes life a lot easier. Okay, so here I'm doing it. But on this one, I set up a function. Okay, so I set up a function, and in the function, I put the array just like I had it. But I now am calling it an array function. Have an array function. And I put that in there. I prompted. I said it's the department, so it's exactly the same code, but I put the code in the function. Okay? So then I'm saying down below, department array function. When I want to do it, I'm just saying do department array function, but I'm even taking the prompt in up there. If I wanted to, I could have taken the prompt in down here and then send it up. Okay? But that whole thing can be enclosed in a function if I want to. One of the hardest things about learning programming is I stand up here and I tell you, you could do it this way, or you could do it that way, or you could do it this way, and it's, you know, yeah.
It could be used if you put a number like -3, because that is technically less than 5.
Yeah. And if you don't trust your user that much, then you have to say and greater than 0.
Okay.
Or, you know, not negative or something. Your if statement has to be more specific if you don't trust your user. Okay.
On the whole, I have found that people don't tend to enter negative numbers for things like that. But it depends. And as I said, if you don't trust your user, then you got to make the if a little bit better. Okay. You also, with arrays, always have to put in the, what do you want to do if it's the check. In JavaScript, it actually works. Let me go back to the other one, because it's a little more straightforward. So if I take this, edit, select all, and then edit, copy. The sun is going to drive me crazy. Now what did I just do? Unplug myself? I think I'm all right. So I'm going to paste it in here. I'm going to take out all of the stuff related to the if department. And I'm just going to say, take in the number and go ahead and use it. So I'm going to save this as files, save as array, no if. Okay. So I took out all of the if, and I've just got document write, and that's just taking in a number and writing it out. So I'm going to do a file save, and I'm going to come over here and open that. So if I put in the 2... and say okay, it works just fine. Okay. If I put in the 7, it comes out and says the department is undefined. Okay. And that actually is very nice, thank you. In lots of languages, it just crashes. So if you use a bad number in array in lots of languages, it just crashes. Program starts running. In JavaScript, it's a little more easy to work with because it comes back with that is undefined. But it's a good habit to get into always putting in the else. If the number is outside the range, this is what I wanted to do. And you asked about the negative, so we'll put a negative in on this, negative 2. And it comes back with the same undefined.
Is there a way to have it say, like, if it is 0 through 4, or do you have to say, like, the two separate things?
You have to say the two separate things. Some languages, but I don't think JavaScript has a way that I can write through. I could look it up. The book on JavaScript is that big and it may be hidden in there someplace. But I don't think I've got that ability. Okay, so the next one is function 2, and this one is basically, and the sun doesn't seem to affect it over there, it just affects my screen. So I'll look at this one. So here, I started out and I said, I've got the boxes down here. So I've got a button to click, and on click, I am saying the department out value. And this is what department out value. Box of form. The department out value is equal to go do the function and send it department in. Okay? So I'm going and doing the function. I'm saying go to the department array function and send it department number in. Okay? So I'm sending it department number in, and I am receiving it. Then I set alert in the function. And I did that basically because I must have had a problem when I first did this and had some kind of an error. And so that's reassurance. It tells me that it made it to the function. Okay? And down a little lower, I put out another alert which said, show me the index. I want to see what it is. Okay, now I would take those out if I was obviously doing this for real. But those are nice little ways of finding out what's going on.
Okay. So then I said, okay, now here's my array, and I set up my array. And I said, actually before the alert, I said, take the department number in the set. Take specifically the value, because again, it's coming in a box, and I need to extract the value. So make the value equal to the department index, or I could call it anything. And then I said, result equals department array modified by department index, or else result equals open value. Alert with the result and return it. Okay, now when I return it, that means it's going to be assigned as the value to the department output. Okay. So if you go ahead and run this one, you're going to see that it's going to come back with that alert, that set of alerts. Okay, so if you run it, I'm going to say, do the, oh, I didn't put a number in. Let's see. Enter the department. We'll put in a 3, and I click. And it tells me that I'm in the function. Okay. And then it tells me that 3. So I know what the number is. And then it uses it and comes back with CU. And then it puts the CU up there. So I got the series of alerts that went along with this, and I can see what's happening. I can see that once I have taken this value and assigned it, this is the department index. Okay? I'm not sure what it shows. If I show department number in, I'm not sure what it shows for that. I'm trying to remember because I've tested that before. So if I take this and I do edit, select all, edit, copy, and put it in Notepad. Do a file, save as array play.html. And what I'm going to do is put out an alert right in here that asks for department number in. Okay, and we'll see what it will show there. So I'm saying file, open file, and I call that array play. There it is. So I'm going to put in the number 2 this time and click, and I get in function, and that's what I get. I couldn't remember what it comes up with. But that's what I get, the object HTML input element. Because again, there were a lot of stuff and I hadn't specified that I wanted to see the value specifically. So it is showing me that. Okay. Then I take and come change it over with the value and it comes up with the 2, CI, and so forth. Now, if I put out an alert that says department number in dot value here, this is going to drive me crazy with the sun. Okay, all Mondays need to be cloudy from now on. Okay, so I'm going to put in a 1
click. Why is this not running? Didn't I save that? File save. I don't think I saved it. Too many things open. Come on. What's going on here? There it is. Whatever. And this was array play. And if I put in a 1 and I click, it doesn't work, and I don't quite understand what I did that made it stop working.
Oh, you didn't put the... You didn't finish it off in the freaking parentheses.
No, I ended up actually saving... Say what I didn't do, what you think I didn't do.
Right.
Oh, yes, that would do it. Only I can't save it there. Okay, so we're getting a debugging exercise. Okay, so where did I... There's the alert that doesn't have the close of the parenthesis. File save, file exit. And now I'm putting in the 1 and clicking. And I have to refresh that. I've been standing here too long. Click. There we go. Thank you. In function. Then that's the bad one. That's the good one. That's the good one again. Okay. So.
What's the part that prints the object HTML then?
This part right here.
Screen is going to drive me crazy. I really can't see much. This one right here.
Yeah, the one above it.
Right. When I put value in it, I got the 1. When I did it down here where I assigned it the department index, I got the 1. But the one that says alert department number and period, that one is the one that just tells you that it's an error. Which is why you have to do the value. If you don't do value, it treats it just like an object. An object can have a lot of properties, and it just doesn't give it to you correctly. If you put the dot value, then it knows you're looking for content. You're looking for the value in the box. And so if you ever get that object message, you're pretty sure that what you did was you didn't use dot value.
Okay, that's a pretty good giveaway. Okay. And what else do I have on the... Okay. And the last array is this one, and it's a two-dimensional array. And this is all kinds of fun stuff.
Okay. So, I set up one array that I call From City. So I am traveling from Boston, New York, Raleigh, or Washington, D.C. Then I have another array that's called My To City. And I'm traveling to Istanbul, Baku, or London. This happened to be when my daughter was living in Turkey. And what's the capital of Baku? What's Baku the capital of? This is a geography lesson.
I don't know.
Afghanistan. No, not Afghanistan. Azerbaijan. Why did I say Afghanistan? The old South. Azerbaijan. My daughter was looking at Turkey and Azerbaijan, so I have to put those in.
Things are getting crazy over there now.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm very glad she's home. So, now I have a price, an array here. And this is a two-dimensional array.
Whoa. Whoa.
So I have to know, where you're flying from and where you're flying to. Okay? So, let's just run it for a second and then we'll come back and look at it. So I'm going to fly from Boston to Baku. Okay, so I'm flying from Boston to Baku. And I find out the fare, and the fare comes out as $987.88. So let's go look at where $987.88 is. Okay. $987.88. That's the one. And what did I enter in? I entered in a 1 or a 2, a 1 and a 2, right? That makes sense. Because I entered from city. I actually don't know what case I have. I entered from city and I said she was traveling from Boston, so I put in a 1. And I entered to city. When it asked me what two city was, I put in a 2. Okay? Notice this. Price 1, 2. So 1 tells me that it was from Boston to Baku. From 1 to 2 gave me 987. If I'd entered 2 and 2, what would I have gotten? Right, exactly. So if I'd said from New York to Baku, I would have got the 2-2. If I had said from Washington, D.C. to Istanbul, what would I have gotten? Exactly. So I am getting basically the two numbers in there are acting as indexes to get me the fare. So those are my indexes or subscripts to get me the fare. So if we come down here, on click, travel array, the from index value and the to index value. So I'm saying put in first what the from is, then put in what the to is, and it's going to go and take me there. If you draw it out, pardon me?
So which will be pretty hard to do with that smartphone.
So if I put in the froms, and I put in the twos, and I can do it either way, it's the intersection that matters. So I've got 2, there's 3, oh no, there's 4 possibilities, I think it's 0.
Yeah, I was also going to say, now like, for loop, new array, could you have done a new array of 3? Because like, you only have 3 slots plus a 0.
The 5 is for the from.
Yeah, no, no, no. The 1 underneath.
Oh, okay.
Can you do that one 3?
If you want to take out the zeros.
Yeah. So the 0 does count as like
Well, but you've got four going over here.
Yeah, but I thought this one was for this side, right? This one already doesn't.
Right. 2, 3, 4, 5.
So, yeah, so does it count to zero? That's what I'm saying.
Well, wait a minute. It's counting to zero, yes. That can get rid of it. But this is saying 5, where this becomes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Out of the way. Back up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And then within it, there are 4 things, each one. Now, if I wanted to get rid of the zeros in both of them, then I could have 4 and 3.
1 through 4.
I could have 4 through 3.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
4 and 3. Okay. So if I make this 0, 1, 2, 3, 4, and from goes up, yeah, just to 4. Okay, and then I've got 0, 1, 2, 3. Okay, so 0, 0, 0, 0, 1, 2, 2, 0, 3, 0, 4. Okay. And then 1, 0 is 0, and then it's 800.97 and 987.98 and 2, what did I just miss? We have 1, 1 is 800. 1, 2 is 987. 1, 3 is 299.99. I'm going the wrong way. And then totally wrong. Okay, so we will erase that.
I'm saying, like, you could write the code the same way and just do it 1 through 5 instead of 0 through 4, right?
Yes.
Like, same thing.
1 through 4, yes. You never have to have the zeros. If the zeros aren't giving you a value.
But if they are giving you a value, you have to count them.
Pardon me?
So if they are, if you are giving the zero value, you have to.
Then you've got to count it in there, right. And what I had just drawn up there was the right thing, it was just wrong. And then I did the wrong thing. Okay? I was starting in the wrong place. So let's see how I can do it again. Okay. So this one goes down to 4, and this one only goes across to 3, right? And this is 0, 0, 1, 2, 1, 2, 3. Okay, so the 4 one is if I pick the 4 and the 0, and that way you know we're doing it right. The 4 and the 0 is 0. The 4 and the 1 is 750.75. 4 and 2 is 950.75. And 250.98. And then you go back and you do the third one going across. This is 0, this is 967.87, and so forth going across. Okay, 1120.98, and then it is 496.98. Okay, so this is the from side, and this is the to side. Because I can go to 1, 2, and 3, and I can come from, and I have 4 on the front side. Okay.
So, the big thing that you have to figure out is, in this case, my first number is the from, right? We just looked at it, we did it. And my second number is the 2. Okay? So over here, notice I have from and then 2. So I have them in the same order. So if I'm making this up, if the from number is first,
Okay, the from. So what I have is the from, and then the to. Okay, that's what I have over there. And so down here, I need the same thing. The from, and then the to. So when I go in and actually access the table, I have the from, and then the to.
So the name of that function, the travel array,
Say which what?
Name that function, travel arrays.
Yes, because that's the one I said on click, do travel arrays, send it for from, and send it for to.
Not really straightforward.
Huh?
So I guess it's not really straightforward, but yeah, I get it.
Okay, question. Do other people get it? Okay, so what you're doing here is we've decided from comes before to, but in the function, we've done an awful lot in the function. We have set up an array to tell us what city it is. We've set up another array that you find from. And another one to tell what city it is and we'll find two. And then we've set up an array that is setting up this new array 5, new array 4. So that basically means an embedded array. Up here I said new array 4, that's a simple array. When I've got two dimensions, I have one within the other. Remember, 1 plus plus is I plus plus is the same as saying I equals I plus 1. It works, should work just fine.
I think it was a different problem.
Any place when you're using before, I plus plus is the same as I equals I plus 1. Plus plus means add one to it. You gotta remember, languages are written by techies.
And they get into stuff like this, where plus plus means up it by one. Okay? Clarity is not necessarily their first objective, which is why, like, I equals I plus one. It just clearly states what's happening. You know, take one, add it to I, and assign it back to I. It just seems a lot clearer to me than I++. So I'm not real fond of I++. But this got me a two-dimensional array. Okay?
And there were 5 repetitions, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And within it, there were 4 repetitions. So it's kind of new one. So I'm saying, basically, price array is a new array, and there's going to be 5 of them. So I'm saying it's 0, 4, to 5. Within that, I'm saying, okay, if the I is there, then I get an I is 0, I get this new array of 4 things. If I is 1, okay, so if I is 0, then I get this array of 4 things. If I equals 1, I get this array of 4 things. If I equals 2, and this is I looking at, I get that array of 4 things. If I is 3, I get this array of 4 things. And if I is 4, I get that array. So it goes through and says, okay, is I 0, and those are the 4 possibilities since I'm 1 up to 4. Okay.
Actually, you know, I'm curious about something.
basically just keep stacking the arrays on themselves.
Oh, absolutely.
Then you can, like, make, like, a whole, like, grid of possibilities.
You can stay awake nights doing this, yes. File save as experiment EXPER2DIM. There's something I did that I'm curious about. Why I did that. It's fine. I have no idea why I did what I did. Oh, interestingly enough, notice how when I do this, I put it in and I said, find out the fare, and it comes up on another screen, and we'll be talking about how you can not have it come up on another screen as we go along. That's where Dawn kicks in. But notice it says you're traveling from Washington, D.C. BR, you're traveling to London. BR, your fare is. So if I do a view source of that, it shows me the HTML that it generated. Just a...
Sorry, it doesn't show the...
But it generated it on a new page. Which is the problem with document write. When you put up the document write and say, find out the fare, and you've already got stuff up there, it's going to give you a new one. We're going to do it with Dawn next week. And with Dawn, you don't go on to another page. So Dawn is much more user-friendly on that sense. Okay, now let's go back to the one that I just did. Okay. Is that the one I changed? No. Okay. Just because I wanted to make you crazy. I did something down here, and it may be what you were trying to get at, Zach. But, oh yeah, give me a second. 4 and 3 were what I could have hit here, because 4 and 3 were the maximum numbers. Yeah, and basically, because 4 is the maximum number here and 3 is the maximum number here, I made a mistake. Because there were 5 things there and 4 things there, I actually...
Aha.
Yes.
Exactly what I was asking.
Yeah, and finally Dawn broke on Marblehead. And so this one can be... down to 3, and this one, whoops, and the one up above at 4. 4, try 4, 4, 4, okay? Because the maximum value in there is 4. And I haven't noticed this one's been around for a while since we started talking, so good job. So this one could have been 4. You'll notice the 4 and 5 were fine. And that's the problem. When something is working fine, you don't know as well as that too. But you don't tend to notice mistakes. You notice mistakes when it doesn't work. You don't notice mistakes when it works. And so if I now save this, and I get rid of the source of that and come back over here and do a refresh and hit 4 and 3, and it comes up just fine. Okay. So view page source has now been changed to those numbers. Okay. And I was happily arguing with you for the 5 and the 4 until I started actually counting and said, wait a minute. No, no, no. The maximum number is 4. The maximum number is 3. And that's what you're looking for as opposed to the count. Now, in some arrays, you look for the count. And that's the other reason I probably messed it up. In some languages, you look for the count. But here, you look for the highest number. Again, it worked just fine, and that's the really annoying part, is when it works just fine, you don't tend to see something that you could have done differently. So if I go back to this one over here, yeah, no, that's about it. So the two dimensions. And I don't think I want to do associative arrays today. No, I definitely don't want to do associative arrays today. I'll do that another day. Okay, so now we're going to look at checkboxes and review buttons. And then we're going to call it quits and have you start on something. So, checkboxes. Checkboxes, if you remember, there's got to be a simpler one. That code goes on forever. Let me look. Yeah. Let's go with that one at first. Okay. Checkboxes say that you can check off a bunch of things. Okay, and checkboxes versus radio buttons. Checkboxes say I can check everything. Radio buttons say I can check one. So if there's only one possibility, you use radio buttons. If there's multiple possibilities, you use check buttons. Okay, so I did this a couple of ways, and the first way is kind of long, so I'm going to look at this one. Okay, so I start out here, and I said check, check, check. And then said select courses. And again, I've got an alert that tells me I'm in. And then I've got a 1, 2, 3. And then I say they selected 3 courses. So that's all I'm doing is telling here how many courses they selected. Okay? So I put out an alert. I set up a variable called course count. It's going to count my number of courses. So then I said, okay, if this first one is checked equals true, then add 1 to course count and put on the alert telling what it has in it. And then check the second one. And if the second one is true, add 1 to course count. And if the third one is true, add 1 to course count. Well, I checked them all. So it is doing all of that. Now, this is a really neat thing. Put into a page. Notice where I said refresh this page. If you put this line in, JavaScript, this location, reload true means reload this location. It will clear everything out. And that is a nice thing to have.
Will it actually refresh the page, or will
yes.
it refresh the JavaScript?
Well, take a look. So if I click refresh this page, it clears everything out. Okay? And that is a lovely thing.
So that line is one of my favorite lines. Because it clears out all the stuff you put on a form. This is for a form. It clears out all the stuff you put on the form. So I have a form, and I gave it a name and an ID, and I told you that I gave up fighting to give it both an ID and a name. And then I said, okay, input type is checkbox. Name equals CIS 120. And then what I said was, so if we move this over.
Can you put that in a clear button too?
Say that again?
Can you put that in a clear button too? Well, you just want to, you want to put clear on the on click, you can put that in just
yeah.
a little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah. Okay, so now what I've got is refresh, I'm sorry. I've got the names going out there, which are those names. This is the name that I'll use internally, CIS120. Okay? And this is what it's going to show on the screen. So I put them all up, and then I said, okay, if you click the button called Select Courses, it has a value of Select Courses. On click, do the function, okay? And send it the course info. And the course info are these names. So it sends up those names. And I said, if course info modified by CIS 120. So what I've got there is send up all of the buttons in course info. Course info is the name of the form. I could have sent them individually. I could have send up CIS 120, comma, CIS 122, comma, CIS 159. But this is kind of a neat way of doing it, where I say send up all of the buttons. And then I say, okay, when the function is finished, whatever gets returned goes into your courses. So, then I said, okay, now since I set up course info, I have to say course info dot CIS 120 so that it knows CIS 120 is part of course info. And so it counts, and then at the bottom I return course count, and course count gets made the value of your course. Our courses is the box right there that you can barely see, but it is right there.
And I know you are hitting saturation level. I can see it on your face especially. You're doing well, you're hanging in. Trying to see which ones. Yeah, I think we'll leave that. Yeah, this one is a pain in the neck, but it's actually not as bad as it looks.
In this one, I've gotten really carried away, and I wrote, go to the window, find the document, write, find the name of the form, and find the name of the field. Usually you don't have to do windows and document to get that. And usually you can just start with info.
But if you don't know where it is, you frequently start with document. And on this one, I started with windows. And we really are almost done, and I'm going to review this next week because I know most of you aren't really hearing it.
Okay, so window.document needs this window, document in it, course info, CIS 120. If it's checked equals true, if it's true. If it's true, then I want to see if 121 is checked. And if 121 is checked, I want to see if 122 is checked. And if they're all checked, I'm going to say taking all three. If you look at this, I'm asking, did they take 120? If I got a yes, are they taking 121? And if I got a yes, are they taking 122? And if I get a yes to them, then I write out taking all three.
okay?
And then it breaks off at the second bar, goes down, checks.
Right. Now, unfortunately, that one should have been, we should have been moved in, and they are on my code. It doesn't show when I do this. Okay, so the else goes with if it's not 122. So if it's not 122, then I write, you're taking 120 and 121. Because I've already got yeses to 120 and 121, but if I get a no to 122, then they're only taking 120 and 121. Yes. And so I got a yes to 120. I got a yes to 121, but I didn't get a yes to 122. So what does that mean? It means they're taking 120 and 121, but not 122.
How it drops down and asks for
122
again.
So now, but wait a minute, this is the no. This here is the no to 121. And so I haven't asked about 122 yet. If I got a no to 121, I haven't asked about 122 yet. So I'm coming over here and saying, okay, did they take 122? And if they did, then I know they took 120 and 122, huh?
So this is where flow charts come in.
That's right. They definitely do. I never do this. So I asked about 120 and I got a yes. I asked about 120 and I got a no. So I don't know about 122. So I still need to ask about it. If it's true, then I know they took 120 and 122. If it's not true, then what did they take?
Just
120. Okay. And now if they get a no to 120, I don't know about anything else. So I gotta ask about 121. And if they got a yes to that, I ask about 122. And if they got a yes to that, then they're taking 121, 122, which is down here someplace, right here. Else, if I got a yes to 121 and a no to 122, they're just taking 121. Okay. If I got a no to 120, and I get a no to 121, I still have to ask about 122. And if they got a yes to that, they're taking 122, and else, they're not taking anything. There probably is. You can probably do it by asking a bunch of compounds. And I think I've got this one right over here. I may have missed one. Basically, you could ask a whole series of compounds. Is it 120, 121, 122? Is it? So you could ask a whole series of compounds. But essentially, that's what it does for you. And the result of this is I now know what they're taking. And you never want to write this. Notice at the top, I started by talking about course info. I mean, Windows.document.
After I got sick of doing that, I said in course info, and that's all I really needed to write. The Windows.document.
And I got sick of it and wrote those.
Wait, what? So after you write the document, how far you don't write the document?
So we've gone and written all of that stuff, and we are putting it into the result. Because when I write something out, I said the value of the result of the post info. And that's what
know, I could have put those all in the messages and got a return. I said, I click, just do that.
So is the Windows.document part, is that just optional?
Yes, totally. That's telling me I want to be on the window and I want to be in the document. But if you don't write them, it assumes that. Okay, we're going to quickly look at a radio button. I'm going to come back and visit a few options that I want to talk on this, but I really don't want to do that to you right now. So, full time. Because we kind of hit saturation. Okay, so I'm saying here, if pay info radio button 0 is checked. So notice this is basically what it's done is it is set up an array of radio buttons. So down here I have made radio button, radio button, radio button. Wait a minute. And if the same name for three things, that must mean that it's an array. And it sets up the array behind the scenes. I don't have to do it. Now, the reason for this is that if I had another set of radio buttons on here, I could call this radio button 1, I could call the other one radio button 2, or for that matter, I'd call it apples. But I have to have these radio buttons. And basically what I'm doing is putting out a full-time salary, etc. I send up the information of which type, and it checks and says, was the 0th one checked? Then that means that they're a salary employee. Was the 1 checked? That means they're hourly. Was the 2 checked? That means part-time hourly. So it set up an array and it returned message. And down here I'm saying make whatever gets returned the value in the type. So message shows up in the type. And the type is that bottom view. I really am going to start out on next Tuesday talking about these because I have a feeling that even if you understand what I'm saying, your brain is full. That's the way it has come up with, and I'll look at the rest of the other two. That's the way it's come up with to handle the fact that I might have one set of radio buttons for sex, for example. You know, pick whether you're male or female. I might have another set of radio buttons for you full-time or you part-time. So to differentiate it, it says give every radio button in the group the same name. And then we'll set up an array for you, and you can access it with the 0, 1, and 2. That's the reasoning behind it. Okay. Calculate total is what I want you to do. And we're going to look at that, and then we will stop talking. I want you to do this at home and try it. And this, among everything else, you've got to pass in your attempt at it. If you don't get it, that's fine. We'll do it in class next Tuesday. But you've got to pass in an attempt to it when you come to class on Monday. And I'm going to put that up there. Mainly because I just really, really want you... We're going to go over it, and we're going to spend time going over it. And basically, it makes more sense when I go over it if you have tried it. Okay, now notice there are boxes there that are very hard to read. But there are boxes. And how many boxes are there? 4. There are 4 boxes under price, and there's 4 boxes under quantity.
look at it on your thing. It's got 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. It's 4. And then there's one over here to put the answer in.
So, what you're doing on this one is I want you to enter in a price and a quantity.
So you're going to enter this in, and you might enter in $5, quantity 3. And then you're going to enter in $2, quantity 5. And $10, quantity 1. And $6, quantity 1. Okay, so you're going to do the math to tell me and say, okay, it's $15 plus $10 plus $10 plus $6 is $41. And so you're going to print out over here $41.
So that's what you need to do. You need to, and I have to calculate the total, you press the button.
So you're going to basically put out, put the number in, make the boxes, set up the form to make the boxes, fill in the boxes, and then you've got to go to a function, multiply price by quantity. So you're going to multiply price by quantity and add it to a accumulator. So you're going to have something like tote. And the first one in will be, I add $15 to it. When I calculate the next, I'm adding another 10, it goes up to 25. The next one sends it up to 35. The next one sends it up to 40. So I'm going to go through and do those multiplies, come up with an answer, and print out the answer. I would look at my examples for how to do it. Okay, but you're using a form. You're going to go in and you're going to do a function that does the multiply, comes up with the total, and I think it would be best to return the total, and then it will work. So this is a basic problem, and as I said, if it's not right, that's fine. We'll work on it on Tuesday or Monday, but I want you to pass in something on Monday, okay? And I'm going to ask people at home to pass it in on Monday, too. If it doesn't work, that's not a problem. We'll work on it when we get in class. But if you haven't worked on it, then you can't fix it. Okay? The other thing I'm going to post when I get home, but I haven't posted yet, is the next part of your webpage. And yes, I will get to yours. You either have to create another webpage or you have to add a page to your existing webpage. And it's got to have JavaScript in it. And I will give you a list of the JavaScript that has to be in it. You can figure out how to do it. So I will also post that. So one of the assignments this week is to do your best at it and bring it in, and we'll see how it goes. And we'll go over the solution, basically, in class. And we just ran out of time. So it was, yeah, right. Hold the applause, please.